This is a book, Omicron, beginning on April 28, 1987, and going through February of the next year. So here we are with the PCR machine and the, an image of it, rather entertaining. We still have that old board somewhere, Hexapus Mark 1. MK1 with the three valves, or the altogether there are five valves on that I can see. Four valves and various timers and so on. Anyway, here it is with a 2 litre bath, but the two litre baths, these are rather small water baths. The temperatures of the water baths and of the inside the block, etc. So the reaction temperature was aimed at 59, and the length of time that it took to get to that temperature is recorded. So the water bath was pretty constant, all right. Inside the block, starting at 32 degrees, reached the reaction temperature essentially in 2 minutes. and the melting temperature, starting from the reaction temperature of 54, which was the end, takes about 2.5 to 3 minutes to get up to temperature, so everything is rather very slow, really, a too long time. And so on the next page, one of the baths is changed to a 7 litre bath, and also improved design, and one can see the improvements of the by the speed of which things are coming to equilibrium. The tube takes about 2.5 minutes to equilibrate, and they melt to anneal. This was anneal to reaction, and melt to anneal takes about 1.5 minutes with a new block. The block was changed, the block that was made for me. The block was modified by Joe Svoboda, who did all the work on the making beautiful aluminum blocks that matched this cell, the tubes very well, and were a joy to work with. So Monday, May 4th, date 7, retesting whether the top of the base of the chamber had been modified to increase the area of contact to the water, so improve the speed of reaction. And the result on page 9 showing that the tube changes are now about 2 minutes to get to something like the right temperature, but not really, still not very good. Still more cut down chamber test on Monday, May 11th, page 11. Acceptable rates. One reached the melting temperature approximately in 45 seconds. And the, both the annealing and the cooling temperatures were fairly rapid. Here was an attempt on page 13, Tuesday, May 12th, it was rather entertaining to try to speed things up. The reactions, the temperature of the of melting was a little difficult. So to try to get over this problem, I thought that I could use antifreeze, ethylene glycol, instead of water, and have a higher temperature than 100 degrees. So I set the system up with some old antifreeze, type used in car radiators and common in Wisconsin. So this was set up with ethylene glycol. I remember going to give a seminar somewhere, I think in New York, and I called back to the lab and found out that Nabuyo answered and said that everybody was made sick with the ethylene glycol decomposition products, which were evaporating from this old antifreeze. And I said, oh, no, let it go on there. It's only in your head. The headache is only in your head. But of course, it really was induced by horrible material. And then we, I think, allowed the experiment to go to completion, but with some somewhat pointed comments on my return. So here the apparatus was reset up on Monday, May 18th, page 15, with a bigger melt bath and distilled water. The results of the temperature changes and time scale are really quite good on the opposing page. And there is a picture of the new machine, where now there are two big water baths and only one small one. And later, even the small one got replaced by a big one. But now we were talking about the modified cell, so it was Hexapus Mark II. With still the comment, larger melt bath, and but use a bigger reaction bath and set the temperature higher, is the comment. So by various things that at least were planned are talked about on Tuesday, May 19th, the modification, and that it would be a good idea to convert the control box to a digital form for each step and include the cycle counter, etc., etc., to be able to do things more precisely and easier. And plumbing should include a digital thermometer in the block, etc., and find three uniform baths, not three different size baths, and have a digital control temperature, etc., etc., and what one might try. And so anyway, here is the Omicron 17 test, which is the bath. The reaction bath is 64, the melt bath is 97, the anneal bath is 36, and we see a gel which I think had been was run by Hyung-Suk Kim on the left page, showing what the products were, what was obtained with 10 nanograms of a plasmid within the presence of delta left primer, delta right primer, and a mixture of the two, hoping to find the specific band at 550 base pairs, but not seen there in this initial test. So, trying different temperatures, Tuesday, May 19th, and Wednesday, May 20th, 37, 60 degrees and 90, or 17, or micron 17, and or micron 19 temperatures, 45, 60 and 90. So the anneal, anneal temperature was changed from 37 to 45, the result being a very weak signal, not much change from Tuesday. Suspect some error. But the spurious bands are not removed anyway. So Thursday set up again with a larger reaction bath. But with many bands seen in all of the samples. And not many with their delta left. Ten nanograms of different plasmids being tested. It's not very well documented. Page 21, still chasing this problem of the water bath. So Friday, May 22nd, an even larger reaction bath made so that the temperature increases faster and stays more level, because if you look back at the other ones, the temperature would continue to rise after it had reached equilibrium because of some cooling that had occurred in the water bath that was being tapped. Looking at what various odd bands there were. For example, 170 base pair fragment must require both the left and right, since it doesn't occur in either delta left or delta right alone. Is this a loop out product, was a question. So the 170 band is something that one didn't want. Trying to understand the result. So here on page 27, Tuesday, July 30th, June 30th, so that's quite a delay from May 19th. There's a gap, the next entry being June 30th. Now, meetings and vacation over, and in that time, several things had happened, as we shall see. But going back to work again with the PCR machine, it's various temperatures were increased and it was much improved when an air leak was fixed, and the temperature got up rapidly in the melt and rapidly down, and everything stayed reasonably constant in the reaction phase. So it was pretty good. But checking with Kim on amplification, some problems were possible problems in the machine. Not really likely to be the cause of the trouble on June 30th, Tuesday, page 27, and so various reaction mixtures were set up. Using 2.5 nanograms of PSV2 nail as a 5.7 kilobase plasmid, as the test plasmid, which we were hoping to find, hoping to be able to amplify with the PCR machine. Various comments on page 29 must increase these concentrations, that's of DNTPs, as a result of some calculations suggested by Kim, or decrease the DNA substantially. Cetus uses 2 millimolar DNTPs with Clenow, and I said, let's assume this is okay, and working out how much primer one would need. And you need quite a lot of primer. For example, 5 micrograms or thereabouts of total primer would be needed, so realizing that you could run out of primer. More temperature checks, July 1st, Wednesday, page 31. An acceptable result. A high concentration experiment on Thursday, July 2nd, page 33. Results show no bands in any sample. Must be the new batch of enzyme. More thoughts on the assay on Friday, July 3rd, page 35, thinking about the concentration of the DNTP and with another image of Hexapus Mark II on the left, with now 2 big water masses that are visible. The third water bath, I can't see. Air leak was found and eliminated, which is a cause of a slow response still. Concentration of nucleotides being investigated next week. And now are going to unlabeled DNA amplification tests, Tuesday, July 7th, page 39, with Kim's reactor and buffer now. This experiment was done a couple of times with this, and the result was satisfactory, that after 20 cycles, there was a visible band in one reaction, and in the other reaction, even heavier visible band in the correct place, 550 base pairs. So 10 cycles and 20 cycles both are giving a visible band with that reaction set up. Tests of other enzymes and concentration and continuing on page 43. And consider increasing the primer for the assay, the conclusion, but it is, although the gel is not very good, it's clear that the experiments are working now. More cycles and twice the primer on page 45, and decreasing the temperature of the melt bath from 97.5 to 95.5 didn't cause any problem. The response was fast enough. And the results are very easily seen. Heavy bands. Trying to work out what the expectation is. The results are that in 13 cycles the amplification is about 2,500 fold. theoretically it should be 8,000 fold, but the conditions are now acceptable. And try try 6-7 cycles, which should give about 20. Going from 13 cycles up to 20 cycles should give about a 20-fold increase in the amount of DNA. It isn't too far on. Seven cycles should be 20x, 2 to the 7th, 2, 4, 8, 16, 2, 4, 8, 16, 32, 64, 7 cycles, yeah, it should be 128, but in fact it was about 24, but not too bad. Continuing to try a different condition in the following page. So, page 51, beginning to reach the conclusion that it wasn't necessary to use an anneal test at all, so the temperature changes are shown when there was only a melt and then melt and reaction temperature back with an anneal temperature, and concluding that it really wasn't necessary to have an anneal temperature. So this was tested on Saturday. On Sunday, June 12th, versus on Saturday, the three cycle result is shown, and on Sunday, the two cycle result is shown, and there's no difference between them. So the conclusion is that anneal is not needed. And now a different reaction temperature from 65, try 70 degrees. So Sunday, July 12th, showed us that you really didn't need to do an annealing. And subsequently, we stopped using it completely. And there's the test now at 70 degrees reaction temperature on page 53. Monday, July 13th, that the result 70 degrees is okay for now. Could be a tad low, but if the specificity is good, we can accept it. And so it's transferred in the southern block for Kim to hybridization. And the hybridization very, very strong and positive on the band, which we can see visually in the ethidium bromide gel anyway. So it's rapidly becoming unnecessary to do the hybridization. But testing at 75 degrees, a rough test of without annealing, but reaction temperature 75, and shows shows nothing really visible on the ethidium bromide, and even the hybridization is an extremely low amount. So that there's a discrimination in the temperature. Repeating then on Thursday, that was with annealing at 75 degrees, and returning on Thursday, July 16th, to annealing again no annealing, but a 70-degree reaction for a better southern, an enormously positive southern, and a very good band on the ethidium bromide. The system is working now. So controls on the following day, delta left and delta right, primers alone. And by getting worried because there's something there that shouldn't be, contamination is a probable cause because delta left, delta right is approximately equivalent to delta left or delta right. So that there must be some contamination, and we began to realize how critical it is to be sure that the products of the reaction are never anywhere near the region where the setting is set up of an amplification is being carried out, because one or two molecules is all it takes to get a false positive. So where do we go to on this, Jenny? Page 60 is here now, or page 61, Friday, July 24th, new solutions and looking to amplify a 1 kilobase and a 2 kilobase long fragments. Now have some primers that should be able to do 1 kilobase and 2 kilobases of primers, called R1000 and R2000, with no carrier, and the result occurs on the next page, July 24th, Friday, page 63, and the results show that the 2 kilobase fragment did amplify. So now we're on book pi. March 17th, 1988.
Hold on just a minute, I'll